T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
But one thing we cannot ignore is the fact that the Milwaukee Bucks are... God, somebody called them boring the other day. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? Oh, my goodness. This is an exciting team. They're fun to watch. They're on the road. And the Milwaukee Bucks are about to light it up against Charlotte this afternoon in Paris, France. To talk more about it, Kane Pittman, our good buddy from Locked On Bucks podcast, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Kane, how you doing, man?
I'm doing well. It's been a while. We haven't spoke for a while.
It has been a while. We got to get you on more often. So how in the world can anybody call this team boring?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I tell you what it is. It is this sort of, I guess, era of social media where people want controversy and they want teammates fighting and they want locker room issues, and the Bucks don't have that. And all they do is go out every day and dominate teams. And to me, I'm not bored. As you said, I enjoy watching this team play a really team brand of basketball. They play for each other, and they enjoy each other, being around each other. And to me, that's not boring.
So the other day, we heard Brian Windhorst say that he does not guarantee Giannis staying in Milwaukee at all. And I have been walking through the town, calming the masses, almost like Paul Revere riding through the countryside yelling, "The British are coming." I'm yelling, "Please be calm and relax." I don't have one iota of worry that Giannis is not going to remain a Milwaukee Buck. They have done everything he's wanted them to do. They have given him kind of free rein. I know at the end of the season last year he said, "Keep the band together and I'll win you a championship." I mean, unless it's a massive collapse or unless there's some kind of massive controversy inside that locker room or with the coaching staff, I believe Giannis is going to keep his word. He loves his family here. I think he's staying. Give me your thoughts on this.
No, I agree. I mean, at this point, if you're a Bucks fan, I don't think that you're losing too much sleep over this. Obviously, this is a franchise-changing decision that's probably going to come this summer when he has a chance to sign the Supermax. But you're right. The Bucks have done everything to keep him happy. They've done everything that he would want. And the other thing that I think is underrated that people forget, I mean, when you go back to even the roster moves they made last season with Malcolm Brogdon, like, I don't think that this team or these owners are doing anything that Giannis isn't okay with, because they understand as long as you have this guy, you're going to be contending for an NBA championship. So I think that the roster that they've brought back certainly would have got the tick of approval from Giannis. He wanted these guys back. He knows that the roster that they've built complements his play as well as any team would in the league right now, honestly, as a bunch of unselfish guys. And even you think to Chris Middleton, the number two on this team, how unselfish he is in terms of he could play a bigger role somewhere else. Obviously, now he's got paid, but he likes playing next to Giannis. They've been together for a long time. I think that, yeah, as you sort of pointed to, unless something, an absolute disaster happens in the playoffs, I think that the Bucks are in a really, really good position to keep him long term.
Biggest question going into the postseason will be, can Bledsoe keep up this kind of play going through a full postseason and hopefully into the finals? And I know a lot of people want to hedge their bets by just trading. Get rid of them, trade them, try to find somebody better. I say be cautious, because this group loves each other right now. You don't want to mess with the chemistry of the team, and they're winning and they're dominating. So do you make a move, in your opinion?
I mean, the Bucks could make a move, and we know that John Horst is a guy that is working the phones. I mean, this is a guy that's got a history of making trades, even last season with the George Hill trade early in the year and then the Mirotić one at the deadline. I wouldn't put it past the Bucks making a move, but I don't think it's going to be a core player as in their top three or four or a starter anyway. So I don't think Bledsoe's going to go anywhere, and I don't think you want to mess with that. You sort of pointed to the chemistry in the locker room, but they're on 70-win pace with this guy. I know that there's a history there that you're going to be sort of anxious about once it gets to the postseason. He hasn't quite lived up to the play that he's put forward in the regular season, but I still think that it's a recipe for disaster if you're trading away one of the key players at this point in the season and crossing your fingers and hoping that you haven't messed anything up. I think the risk is too great to trade a guy like Eric Bledsoe. But They've got a couple of interesting pieces that they could move. Younger guys. They've also got the first round pick that they picked up in the sign and trade for Malcolm Brogdon that could be used as a trade chip. So I think that they'll be working the call. But I don't think it's going to be a major move.
So let me ask you this. Who has been, because we talk so much about Giannis, and Giannis has had another MVP season thus far, but Bledsoe's played well. Middleton has certainly played well and stepped up his game. But it seems like every night there's another guy, whether it's DiVincenzo hitting a big three and changing momentum, or you get a guy like Brook Lopez or Robin Lopez getting a big rebound or a big block or playing some defense in him. Who has been one of the more impressive figures that is not named Giannis or a starter on this team?
Well, I think that DiVincenzo, first of all, I like what he's brought to the table this year. I didn't know what to expect coming into the season. He was a guy that only played 27 games in his rookie season because of injury. So you had the question mark over health. But the thing I love about him is that he doesn't actually need to score to impact the game. What he's doing defensively with the deflections, with the steals, contributing to winning basketball for this Bucks team, even if he's not hitting his shots. And now lately, in the last sort of week or so here, we've seen the three-point shot come along. He looks like his confidence is building. So DiVincenzo, I did not expect, was going to play such a key role for this team. I think he brings a little bit of X factor. And the other guy I have to mention is Brook Lopez. I know the three-point shots aren't going down, but this guy could genuinely be the NBA Defensive Player of the Year. I think that would be difficult because he's playing in the same team as Giannis, but what he's doing in terms of rim protection, blocking shots, and really just anchoring the defense is, it's heavily underrated for mine.
Talking with Kane Pittman from the Locked On Bucks podcast, I wanted to ask you, is there a legitimate threat in the East right now to the Bucks in the top spot heading into the finals, in your opinion?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, maybe Philadelphia because of Joel Embiid. He's such a unique defender and one of the only guys that can stand in front of Giannis and actually defend him when he's coming downhill. I don't see any other matchup in the East or a team that has that. The Raptors are playing great. They've been able to withstand a bunch of injuries, but I still just look at that lineup and I say, okay, well, this is mostly the same team as last year, except you don't have Kawhi. And to me, that's the fear factor gone from the Raptors. And the Celtics are just too small. We saw last week that Giannis is able to overwhelm them. In fact, he did that in the second round last year when they had Al Horford. Now they don't have Horford. I don't think that they could match it with the Bucks for a seven-game series. So for mine, the Sixers potentially, but still, we talk about locker room issues. I'm not sure whether those guys like each other now. They seem to be playing well without Embiid. I don't know what to make of them.
How are the Toronto Raptors getting it done?
It's a good question. Nick Nurse is an incredible coach. I mean, he is unbelievable. He's one of the only coaches in the league that is willing to try absolutely anything to win. We've seen him play a bunch of zone. We've seen him go to the box end one. He tries all sorts of crazy things to try and help. And I think the whole locker room is bought in. You talk about the Bucks liking each other. The Raptors locker room is incredibly tight. And winning that championship last year has brought them together. And they've got a bunch of guys improved. Siakam, certainly at the start of the season, was playing at an MVP level. He's dropped off a little bit and he was hurt. But that Buck killer, Fred VanVleet, as well, is having an incredible year. And he's going to earn a lot of money this summer when he's a free agent. So, again, I think that they're lacking that absolute superstar in the playoffs. But, that is a team that's playing together. And that's why they keep winning, because they've had a lot of injuries that they should not have been able to withstand.
Same thing with the Miami Heat. I you know, at first it was when they hired Spoelstra. He was like the little kid that just happened to come along for the ride. I thought what he's done in maturity as a coach, whether he's taken it all from Pat Riley and Pat's given him great advice and he's kind of implemented that, that has been fantastic. And he's been able to contain the craziness of Jimmy Butler, so to speak. And the Miami Heat are coming on too.
Yeah, the Heat have been great. And I think that the one thing that I look at when I look at that team in terms of what they could do in the postseason, I think the reason I pause when I look at them is because they're relying on contributions from rookies, from young guys,
right?
And Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, Kendrick Nunn. So they got a bunch of young guys that I think by postseason, by playoffs, maybe they're going to wear out a little bit. But you're right, Jimmy Butler seems to be heading in. And it's funny because there's this narrative around Jimmy Butler that he needs to be the main man. And in Philadelphia, he wasn't. There's Ben Simmons there. There was Joel Embiid there. It didn't seem like they got along well. Now he's in Miami as the lead guy with a bunch of young guys. And he seems to be enjoying that. So the Heat, they're a dangerous team, and obviously, I mean, they beat the Bucks earlier in the season, but yeah, they're relying on a lot of young guys, and I think that's where the question mark comes with them.
I do enjoy watching Western Conference basketball. The Lakers obviously are a show. Utah, a very quiet, gentle giant at this point. The Clippers are the Clippers. I tell you what, I'm enjoying watching the Rockets. Exactly what we all predicted would happen. You got two guys who want the basketball, one guy who hogs the basketball, another guy who's frustrated for not getting the basketball, and they continue to falter at only 27-16, and they're 8 games back. Now, they're still in the postseason, but they're 8 games back from the Lakers in the top spot. I'm enjoying watching Houston go down more than anything else.
Well, I mean, the Rockets are fun to watch lose, aren't they? Because you point out, you've got James Harden, who spent more time last season complaining about the MVP and wanting to win the MVP than winning. And Russell Westbrook is a guy that he's been on winning teams, but he hasn't been able to get to the next level. And they're tough to watch. I mean, those two guys, so ball dominant. But the West is tough, man. I still think it's going to be one of the LA teams that get through. But it's just interesting the different paths they're going on, because the Lakers are going hell for leather. They're trying to win every game. The Clippers are not. Now there's some talk of potentially some locker room issues there with Kawhi and Paul George. So I don't know. I still think that it's going to be one of those LA teams, but they're on different paths at the moment.
Kane, let's do this more often, okay?
Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it, pal. There you go. Kane Pittman, Locked On Bucks podcast. You can find him there also at Kane Pittman on Twitter. Kane, K-A-N-E, Pittman on Twitter. He joins us on a Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, go to schneiderjobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.